This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
شيء لا شيء. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه وسلم. يوم 23 من شهر المحرم 1445 الموافق ل 10 من شهر أغسطس 2023. أصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل، أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك أن تعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويكفر لمن ويرفع درجته. So today, inshallah, we continue where we stopped last time. And if you remember last time, we talked about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ قَضَوْا بِلَادِ فَأَكْفَرُوا فِي الْحَسَانِ فَصَبْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَبُّكَ سَوْتَ عَلَىٰ. Those who caused corruption stopped everyone, earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let them go. None of them escaped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ بِالْمِرْصَادِ. Shows something that found to everyone that Allah is waiting for us. That no matter how much you try, this game, you can't do that. Don't do that. You have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ بِالْمِرْصَادِ. The place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting everyone to come. This is death, or to say what comes after death. And that's according to our aqidah and our religion, which all the Muslims believe in it. Anyone who claims to be following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must believe in this fact that life after death is haram. It's true. Yeah. We all go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. You know, we die, it doesn't mean that it is over. Thereby, alas, whatever you did in this life, it is gone. But it is not. Everything is documented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels, they documented everything. And we will face the consequences of it. Meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to explain to him whatever it is like and why did you do what you did. Everything you have to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this meeting is going to be between you and him alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there will be nobody amongst you except that Allah is going to talk to him in the day of judgment, and there will be nobody to translate or interpret to you. Allah will speak to you in language you understand, and will ask you to explain and tell what did you do in that life. So then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the behavior of human. He says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَهُ وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَإِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the attitude and the behavior of human. That they are not thankful. Whatever happens to them, they show complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If good happens, they will not be appreciative that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for them through righteousness and increasing goodness and the good behavior between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the calamity also strikes them, they will not be patient. They complain, think that this is disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, أَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَوْتَلَاهُ وَأَكْرَمَهُ وَلَعَبَهُ نَبُلْ أَكْرَمَهُ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests me with both good and bad. And a person should always look at his attitude and behavior to understand what is the basis of that test, and this test is for what? Is it really a punishment, or is it a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That will determine who you are, Allah, and what kind of test you're receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will tell you exactly the nature of what comes to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah grants you there, and you are at the same time a righteous person, and this ni'mah is a sign of love for Allah. It's a sign of love for Allah. Muslim should be so happy she sees from Allah. That ni'mah will be a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because your actions, you know, tally with that ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that blessing. However, if you receive the blessing from Allah, then you see yourself, you know, sticking to that evil behavior, then a person should understand that this is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not every ni'mah is a sign of love and acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be very careful. Sometimes I'm so happy. And so we're happy because we think what is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us is a sign of love. No, it might be silent. It might not be silent. It might be a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says in another place, يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُبِنْتُ بِالْبَارِ وَبَنِينَ سَادِعُ لَهُمْ خَيْرَاتِ اللَّهِ يَشْكُرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people think that what we are giving them of wealth and also children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving sometimes a lot. Allah says, do you think that every single thing that we are given, this is a sign of good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving very good, best one on the day of judgment. Allah says, do you think that this is a sign of love from Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ballai shu. No, they don't know. They are ignorant. Yeah, because it is not, this is istidraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them as a form of istidraj, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them this right. Based on many possibilities, you know, they might repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and back to Him. That's number one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give them this opportunity, you know, to give them long life. If today they don't accept it, but inshallah, or they might repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second thing, it might be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neglected them. The way He put them in the way, they will be deceiving themselves that everything is fine. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to some people, He does this way. Let them enjoy. Let them think that everything is fine. Because He already instructed and reminded, reminder after reminder. So if they are not willing to pay attention to the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might please and intensify His blessings upon them. And then they will see the ni'mah coming. They might be thinking that, yeah, because of what we are doing, that's where the ni'mah is coming. That means we are on the right way. So they continue, so that we don't get seen. We have a lot of examples. So that's why we have to be very careful. Calamity happens to you. And first, before the calamity, when the ni'mah happens to you, whatever you get, which is good in life, which makes you happy, first thing you should do is to look at your behavior and your relationship with Allah. If that relationship is not sound, it's not good, sisters, it is wajib upon you to go back and stay away from being happy with this. Fix your behavior and attitude, because that's a good thing that we learning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that time about to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to help us to appreciate that we should do this. So he says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِ. If Allah tests a human being, فَأَكْرَمَهُ, honor him, He blessed him. He granted him so many. One hour, gave him a lot of milk. And all of me are coming. He will say, that's why I all of these things, because I'm okay, I'm good. My relationship is fine. And what is given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of acceptance by Allah, that my deeds are on the right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is top of ignorance. But they are not having the consciousness. They don't know what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning. Allah إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَ. Sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the person by restricting your risk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give you a ticket, but make life a bit tight. It means that all of the ahana say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disrespect and disrespect. So rather than being patient, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the solution. Tragedy that he's facing, and he will be complaining against Allah and believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not respecting him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like him, Allah is not above him, but it is not like him. Because test in Islam is a sign of Allah if a person is okay. If a person is not okay, then the test will be punishment. If you are okay with Allah, your relationship is fine, and the test is a sign of Allah. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, to remove the sins of a person so that when you meet him on the day of judgment, what meets him with sin, whatsoever in the world. That's the ultimate success that every should have. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yazal al-bala'u bi. See, a calamity you remain, until the time, sometimes it leaves it with no sin in his account. Sometimes you see what will keep coming, one month after the other. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will combine so many messiah with you. As long as you're good, righteous, and you're doing the right thing, that might be a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove your sins. So that if you are to die in that moment, you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no sin in your account. With no sin in your account. That's the ultimate success. Because going back to Allah with sins is a real threat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَتِ الْمُدِينَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ حَمَلُهُ. The one who carries oppression back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay the life, and this is the real loser. You want to see the real loser? Look at that person who brings tragedy, sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was asked, who sees the worst type of test, the harshest of tests? He says, Al-Anbiya. Al-Anbiya al-Salih. Prophets, they receive the harshest of tests. So that you will know that test, with calamity is not a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infection. That's sign, if a person is good, as a sign of love for the master. That's why this is. So that one of them is a sign of love for the master. Master allows the person to test. See whether you can exist, whether you're truthful. So if you point in the past, they don't want to test it, but a master will any types of test. Alhamdulillah, be passed. So be patient. Whatever you see from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry. Make sure you're doing the right thing and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach you. So sure. Alakin. Allah took you on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. This is not in. This is not in. Calamity and the test is coming. If this calamity is tragedy as a punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this happened, so that's the power that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَعْصَرُكُمْ مُسْلِمَةً فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ لِيَعْقُوا عَلْكِهِ. There's no calamity or muslima that happens to you, except that this calamity or muslima is happening because of the Lord. لِيَعْقُوا عَلْكِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving the vast majority of Allah. So if Allah is going to hold us responsible for everything we are doing, subhanAllah, trust me, there will be nobody on everyone. This is not my word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Said, وَلَوْيَ أَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. Some place, if Allah is to hold people responsible of their attitude and their behavior, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى مَعْنِهَا مِنْ كَرْبِ. There will be nobody on earth. Everyone will be gone, including animals and everything. So Allah will be very angry. And the result of that anger will be the destruction of this life on earth. What does it mean? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He forgives the vast majority of our beings. So we don't hold people responsible for whatever they did. We hold them responsible for something. So that they can reflect and repent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that Allah is watching. Because if life is very smooth and everything is smooth, there will be no test. People will be deceived by this and continue, to behave in the same way they are doing. So Allah is bringing the test for the believers so that they can reflect. That's why they said one of the causes of the test is to act as a wake-up of that last one, to wake you up. Sleep. This is the time for you to wake up. So Allah will hit you with it so that you will understand that. Yes, we're going in the wrong direction. And you are diverting from the right path so that you can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fix your behavior. Good life in this dunya, Allah promised, even when you're doing it. So he says, Kalla balla tukilmunit. What is happening to you, calamities, is happening also to your bad behavior. One of these bad behaviors is that la tukilmunit. You don't respect an orphan. You don't respect it. Who is it? Is it somebody who lost his father or his mother? His father. Is it somebody who lost his father? From the time he was born up to the age of maturity, till he becomes a man. After the Bulugan, he becomes so, see, Sharia, the last one, is always on his responsibility. Because they are the most vulnerable. Town, sisters. Might say, no, why do you think sisters are weak and all and all? Let's go back to history and be realistic. Who is the one that is mostly oppressed on this planet? Man or the woman? Of course, this is captivating. And we will continue like this unless if we come back to the Sharia, that's the only protection sisters have. But only Islam takes for the sisters. Only Islam. Apart from Islam, there is nowhere they can go to Islam. Yeah, the main focus in this dunya, in the past and in this land. So open your eyes and see what is going on in Islam. What we are talking about. So we have focused so much on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to know is that he's watching. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died while advising people to really, really be gentle to them, especially sisters. That's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because he knows who is in the community. Always suffering. That's a test for them. That's a test for them. In many places, they are just hated. And people misbehave towards them, not because of any sin they committed, but because of the fact that they are created in them. And honestly speaking, in this time of ours, whose fault is that? I blame the sisters. Because if she does not open, that disrespect will not come. He will not. All of those who hold the Islam, hijab, maintain the good behavior. It's so scary to the Christians. Allah is the fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, Yudhina alayhi nabi jalabi, kadaika adana, kadaram kabala yudhi. He said, let the believing sisters, push the hijab proper, dress proper. Done. Against the law of the Muslims in terms of behavior. Allah says this is the only way, you know, for them to be protected without being harmed by communities. At the bottom is Allah says, let them dress properly. The dress is what? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which the physical one, see, is a sign of the best one. Because when the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists in the heart, then you see a person observing another's physical. We have to be realistic to ourselves, not to deceive ourselves. This is the reality of this world. We're not in protection. Sisters have this life of ours is to hold upon our passport, and he is the only one who has them and test the right and one it's I mean problem. So that's number one. Number two, that the item. See, because he lost his parent or he lost his father, so technically no protection. SubhanAllah, many of them get into trouble. Their inheritance being taken, you know, misbehaved by the family members, they put them to low level in the family, everyone gets everything except the treatment is very low. Prophet also emphasized on this issue to the extent that he says if you are to respect an orphan, a team, and give him money to survive, and take care of him, he said, I will be together with you on the that's really a successful ritual. He with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our Kathy to Jannah to Kathy to Jannah.
So also, if you take care of them, Allah will take care of your children if you are to die. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If you die and you have children, what are you afraid of in relation to your children? To be in a place where nobody cares about them and nobody takes care of them and nobody respects them. You are afraid of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just like the way you are afraid of your children to be in trouble when you leave this life, you should also treat those children that were left by their parent and they leave you as a guardian. Yeah. In the past and up to date also. Up to date. Yatama suffering. Yeah. Up to date yatama suffering. So it's a very sensitive matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the past, they used to take care of them. A person would take care of a yatima. You know, subhanAllah. This is one of the injustices against the woman, especially the itam. You know, he will take care of her until she grows. And then he married her without paying the right sadaq. Yeah, because she cannot say no to him. Even the marriage itself also. Is she really agreeing with that? But she has no choice. It's disgusting, actually. Wallah, because those yatama, when they live with a person, you know, they are somehow like his children, you know. No problem. If marriage between them is okay, he can go and marry if she agrees without any pressure. Yeah, which I doubt. But if she is to agree, no problem. But you have to treat her in the right way. Give her right. And in that situation, I would suggest for somebody who's going for this to pay double, you know, the amount which is to be paid to a person who joined the family, you know, and not being part of the family in terms of relationship. Meaning, if a person marries a normal sister and he pays 100,000 for the sadaq, you know, with this yatima, pay 150 or 200,000 to make her feel respected and that you are not enslaving her, because technically it's just like a slave. She feels shy to say no. She just go to this person and she like him, she doesn't like, you know, but she just has to say yes. But Allah wants us to understand that He watches. He says, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they should understand that just like the way they're afraid of somebody mistreating, you know, their children, they should also be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find them doing the same with the children of others. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. وَلَا تَحَضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And you don't support and help the masakeen. And you don't recommend and motivate others, you know, to help the miskeen. Miskeen is somebody who is a needy, you know, who doesn't have what to eat, what is enough for him. You know, technically the scholar said, is somebody who has something but it is not enough to cater for his need. Different from the faqir. Faqir is somebody who doesn't have anything. Miskeen is somebody who has, but it is not enough for his need. But he has something, but it is not enough. قال كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتاكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما. What puts you into that trouble? It is because of all of these mentions. And also وتاكلون التراث أكلا لما. التراث they interpreted as inheritance. Yeah, which is not belongs to you, but you take it. You take something other than your right. You know, you go beyond the limit. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth so much. In this dunya, can we love wealth? Yes. Yeah, loving wealth is not an issue. But the issue is to love it in the way it is the one that is pushing you to make a decision. You are happy because you get it. You are sad because you lost it. Yeah, this is the one that the Prophet Allah so much is referring to when he says, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمُ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارُ. It's a dua against this person who worships wealth. He's happy when there is wealth, sad when there is no wealth. Allah doesn't want a person to live like this life. Allah wants you to live a moderate life. Love the wealth and look for it. And the reason why you love it is because you want to have it so that you can satisfy your need and also support your family and support the community and support the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wealth is not evil. It is our behavior towards it. If you have a wealth that takes you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this wealth is evil. It's taghut to you alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. That which is little, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, the little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, but it is enough for you to, deal with your affairs. It is greater than what is so much, but it distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're looking for wealth for the sake of Allah and supporting yourself and your family and the community and using your wealth to gain the akhirah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Qarun, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget the portion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you of this dunya. Yeah, because there are some people who have the dunya, but they don't enjoy it. They live as zahideen, according to what they say, you know, that kind of ascetic life. Allah doesn't like that. Dunya is given to you for you to enjoy in the right way. Yeah, this dunya is created for us, the believers, not for anybody else. Allah says, وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. So in conclusion, you know, concerning this matter of wealth, try your best. Don't let wealth get into your heart. You get it? Always let it be at your hand. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you should just keep giving. No. Allah wants you to give moderately. Yeah. Save, you know, as much as you can. Support. Whenever there is a need for support, you know, do everything and keep for your family members. You know, make them wealthy. Make them satisfied in the way they will not go and beg others. Yeah, but at the same time, don't let wealth get into your heart. That should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Meaning, you understand wealth as a means or a goal? A means, yeah, not a goal. Yeah, you are getting it as a means. Means to help yourself, help your family, and help Islam, help the Muslim community, you know, but not as a goal. Because if you take it as a goal, trust me, you will not be able to do the right thing. And you will not give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over that wealth. Allah says, وَتْحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, they will remain being negligent until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them back to the day of judgment for accountability. He says, definitely, إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّنْ دَكَّ. دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّنْ دَكَّ means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it flat. You know, all of these ups and downs, you know, the hills, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it flat. You know, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the earth through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the earthquake is going to happen and the earth will be flattened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. SubhanAllah. He says, at that time, your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come and also the angels will come in rows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, مَجِيءٌ يَجِيءُ يَلِقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come on the day of judgment, لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَى, for the decision, for the reckoning. SubhanAllah, this is one of the greatest, if not the greatest mawqif, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming to the place. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِي وَلَكُمُ السَّلَامَةُ وَالْعَافِيَةُ. And this happens after the people went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and look for, you know, shafa'ah, and this is after being rejected by all the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who they approached. You know, none of them will agree to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk to him about this matter until the time it reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahibu shafa'at al-uzma. SubhanAllah. You go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this very tough and difficult mawqif. You will go to Allah and make sujood. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire me with names and attributes, you know, which I never heard of them. Never heard of them. You know. So he said, that's the first time I know them. So I will call him using those names and attributes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me, raise up your head, Ya Muhammad. Ask whatever you want. You'll be given. If you're looking for shafa'ah, just ask whatever shafa'ah you want, Allah will give. And the Prophet said, I will be saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, ummati, ummati. Ya Allah, my ummah, subhanAllah. That's why definitely this person is a loser when the name of Muhammad is being mentioned and we don't say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even at that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking about us. He said, there was no prophet amongst the previous prophets except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an opportunity to ask something for themselves. And all of them did. He said, except me. I keep my dua to use it for my ummah on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Even this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him for himself, he said, no. And then his name will be mentioned. We don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his sunnah is mentioned. We don't follow him. And you have some people who will tell you that I will only follow him when what he says makes sense. I don't know what kind of aql these people have. And you Allah, if a person is serious on this and he knows what he says, telling the Prophet ﷺ that there is a possibility for his statement not to make sense, this person is going out of Islam. Because that's a disrespect against Muhammad ﷺ. And disrespecting Rasulullah ﷺ takes a person out of Islam. If he meant that the Prophet ﷺ is saying things which don't make sense, then this person is out of Islam. He has to come back to Islam again. So Allah salamu alayhi. قال وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجاء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكر. On the day of judgment, Jahannam will be brought. You know, everyone can see it. SubhanAllah. And he says, يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it will be brought. You know, each one of them is held by 70,000 angels. I just want you to understand how big is this place. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, there is a rock that was cast into hell, you know, and it takes that hell, that rock 70 years to reach the bottom of hell. And guess what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told hell? He promised to make it full. And who are the inhabitants of hell? People and rocks. So be very careful, as the Prophet ﷺ said, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِكِّ تَمَرَةٍ. Stay away from hell. Even if you are to give a charity of something that is so tiny, that's okay. But try your best to make sure that you stay away from hell. وَجِيَأَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. On that day you see a person, you know, remembering his deed, what he did. And a person will be reflected, regretted. وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but dhikra will never benefit him. Remembrance will never benefit him. He will come and say, oh, I wish I did this and that. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتِنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. You'll be saying, I wish, you know, I did something good for my life in the future. I'm sorry, in the past. I wish my life was all based on righteousness and doing the good thing. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتِنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. So, you see, this is, subhanAllah, a blessing from Allah for us to hear this. That on the Day of Judgment, people are going to regret. On the Day of Judgment, people are going to be wishing that they were good in this dunya. يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. So it's a good news for us so that we can reflect because we're still alive. Once you move to that place, you know, to the qiyamah, which is death, because مَمَّاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُ. Whoever dies, his qiyamah begins. As soon as you move to the qiyamah, to the grave, you know, that's the beginning. As soon as you move to that place, this is when the real trauma is going to begin. This is when the real tragedy will begin. Questions in the grave, you know, ahwal al-qabr, you know, that scary place. The Prophet ﷺ said even the angels, they come in a very scary way, you know, that test which is so heavy. You know, how to pass that test? Wallahu alam. And then how long a person is going to be living in his grave? Allahu alam. Therefore, wallahi, we really need to prepare for this. Do the right thing and be patient. Do the right thing and be patient. قال فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد. You know, a person will be wishing that he did the right thing before death. Allah says on that day, there will be nobody who punishes like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will be punished like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish people. Meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the harshest on that day. وَلَا يُثِقْ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدْ. And this is al-batsh. You know, nobody will be held accountable and responsible, you know, and charged in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. Because that was so accurate, you know, very tight. So that's a very heavy moment for a person to handle. Therefore, we should prepare for this. But this is only for the wrongdoers. As for the good ones, Allah says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ. Allah says, but the good people will be invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be told, ارْجِعِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. When a person is about to die and he is good, subhanAllah, angel will come with the kafan from Jannah. And they will show him his picture of Jannah. And he will be interested in coming out. The soul will be interested in coming out of the body. And then they will take it in a very easy way. Although he suffer, but it will be very easy in comparison to the non-believer. In a very easy way. اِرْجِعِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of pleasure. As a person that Allah is pleased with. And he is pleased with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in Jannah. Go and meet the good ones. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get into my Jannah. But who is this nafs al-mutma'inna? Ibn al-Qayyim says, is a person that itma'annat nafsuhu bil-iman. Person who has a very strong iman. When we talk about tama'nina, meaning he is fully satisfied with that which he believes in. He believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers and the angels and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to believe in. And he's very firm. And also, he is so strong when it comes to the istiqamah, maintaining that righteous deed, which is the translation of the iman he has. So, itma'annat nafsu bil iman. He's 100% satisfied, you know, with the iman and satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be on his side. So when we talk about tuma'nina and nafs al-mutma'inna is the soul of a righteous person that is based on iman and righteousness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq was sadat, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to be among those people who reflect in this light before we meet him. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is the end of this surah. Inshallah, in the next class, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jalla, we move to the next surah, which is surah Al-Balad, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. So let's move to question and answers, if any. Yes. Why? We are not sure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention. And also, what we should understand, Shafa, is the fact that not everything that is found in hell has been punished. Yeah. You find things being made in hell, but they might not be punished. Like there are rocks, you know, we cannot say that there's a punishment for them because we are not told that they're disobeying Allah. Yeah. And in fact, in some places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that they fear him. Yeah. So that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to be inside that place. You know? So the kind of feeling they have, they might be enjoying the place. It might be. So we just leave it like the scholars have mentioned, that not everything found in hell is being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan, any question?
Zoom.
Okay. Nobody asked. Says Walima for us today.
I have one.
Give them. Okay.
So moving on, those who investigate the good and bad deeds of others, like those who are pushing others to do good deeds and who are very
kind of like exposing others' bad deeds.
That's haram. And somebody to expose somebody else's bad deed, this is haram. And they have to be very careful because this is what is called in Islam, tatabbu awrat al-muslimin. You know, trying to, you know, spy, you know, on the believers and get through their secrets. And whoever does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to also do the same thing with him. And if you are checking about the secrets of others, you know, you will not get all of them. You get a little. But now is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala getting through your secret. What do you think will remain? Nothing. And he's going to expose this to everyone. Yeah, that's why it is always wajib for a person to keep silent when it comes to talking about others. Don't talk about their secrets. Don't talk about their deficiencies. Always focus about your deficiency and see how to fix it. Yeah. It is haram for somebody to do that. And if he is to talk about the deficiency of others, this is a ghibah and disrespecting his brothers and sisters. And the consequences is really heavy. Yeah. On the day of judgment, the easiest thing that will happen is to lose his righteous deed to that person. And Allah will take from his righteous deed and give it to that person.
Thank you.
The Allah grant us good.
Sheikh, question. There are a lot of misconceptions and people believing that sunnah is actually just sunnah and it's not wajib. But there are actually a lot of wajib in the sunnah, right? So how do we explain to these kinds of people?
Yeah, the best thing is to tell them to go to the school, to go to classes and learn. Sunnah is a concept, which means whatever was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is wajib or it is mustahab, it's called sunnah. Yeah, sunnah wajib, sunnah mustahab, you know. So it could be wajib, it could be mustahab. So the concept is called sunnah. Sunnah means what was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what was approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Could be wajib, it could be mustahab. That's why as a good Muslim, he has to respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take whatever he does. You know, and the scholar said he shouldn't always ask about, is it wajib or sunnah? Yeah. The only time when he will ask about this is when he is in trouble. Let's say he is negligent concerning some matters. So he will ask, is it something that is wajib? I forgot to do it. Is it something that is wajib so that I will make it up? Or it is mustahab? I will try to be careful in the future. But in the normal circumstances, as a Muslim, whatever command he receives from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's supposed to practice it. And whatever recommendation he got from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's supposed to do it without asking whether it is wajib or mustahab. Yeah, there is one question here. It says, the other day we discussed about Allah will ask angel to check for the person's best deed to reward them, right? How about the deeds are based on istiqamah? Okay, I don't get the question that much, but it is true. We mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels to check the deed of a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَلَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجَرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the best of the deed. So if you're talking about istiqamah, istiqamah means to have a good behavior and maintain it and be consistent. Yeah. Allah knows which one is the best deed in amongst your deed. So we're not the one who will decide which one is better. You will make the wrong decision. Yeah, Allah knows which one is the best. So He will choose the best amongst your deed and judge you based on that. If the one that you are mustaqim alayhi is the best one, that means inshallah the decision and the judgment is going to be based on that. بِإِذْنِ الْوَحِدِ الْأَحَدِ inshallah. May Allah grant us good. Which one to give priority between married and Hajj? Last year we have what? Limited amount of money and need to choose one. Choose marriage first, then Hajj will come later. Yeah, Hajj, marriage is part of the nafaqah. If a person is confronted by these two things, whether to go for Hajj or to use the money to marry, he should marry first. Yeah, and then struggle to get the money for Hajj next year, inshallah. Because Hajj comes if you are able to do it, you know, after all the expenses, you know, pay for your food and everything. So the balance, is it enough to take you to Makkah? If not, if yes, then alhamdulillah. So if you need to marry, a person needs marriage, it's better for him to marry, especially when marriage is necessary for him. Allah grant us good. Okay, that's the only questions that I have. Yes, Shafa.
I have two questions. When you try to get the money from bank, it probably delays for a few days. And you mentioned that when there's a delay receiving money with two different currencies, it's a river.
Mm.
So despite the other system being illegal from a country's side, if it's the halal option, it's okay to be opted?
A person should stay away from anything that is illegal in the country. Yeah, you're just going to put yourself into trouble. And look for a solution. There are many, many solutions. One of these solutions that we, that are available now is to open an account in your country. And you have also an account in the country you're living in. They put money from that, use the ATM, and withdraw the money from here. Yeah. There's a very good solution, and there is no riba in it. Yeah, they put the money there, and you withdraw it here. Yeah. And also you have MoneyGram, Western Union. These are all prompt things which a person can receive the money right on the spot. Yeah. I believe there are several solutions that a person can follow. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And avoid going against the law.
Sheikh, the other question is, when we're praying in Jama'ah, and it happens so that accidentally we pray Surah Fatiha before the Imam, and then the Imam says, so do we say after the Imam again too?
Yeah, the moment you remember, you just keep quiet. Yeah, let him finish first and then you do after him. And there will be no sujood on you. Yeah, because these type of additional things, Imam takes it. Because we do it by mistake, not intentional. So the Imam carries that on your behalf. Okay. So I guess that's all. Then I will see you inshallah next week. Next week, with the light, I will be able to use the classroom. I will follow up with them tomorrow. They said most likely tomorrow we will get the key. Inshallah, then we will be using it, inshallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Muhammad Ridwan, please, if you can hear me, please send me a message on my number 018-270-9817. 018-270-9817. Yeah. Barakallahu. Assalamu alaikum.